The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 26. You've Got a Friend in Me. It was Thursday at Hogwarts, but it wasn't just any Thursday. It was October 31st, Halloween. The entire castle was decorated with candles and pumpkins, and there was a certain excitement in the air. Faculty and students alike were looking forward to that evening's Halloween feast, the biggest since the beginning of term. Harry and Hermione were at the Hufflepuff table with Lila and Susan that morning. The girls were all curious about how things went at the Slytherin table the night before. "So how did things go with Gringotts and Davis, Harry?" asked Hermione. "Yeah, Harry. Inquiring minds like ours want to know," added Lila with a big grin on her face. "Surprisingly well," Harry replied. "They're both really nice, actually. Daphne called me Harry, if you can believe it. I think they're still a bit leery of venturing to the Hufflepuff and especially the Gryffindor tables, but they seemed really appreciative that someone from Gryffindor was willing to reach out to them. Would either of you be interested in getting to know them sometime?" Hermione shook her head. "I'm not sure if I'm ready, Harry. I'm not opposed to meeting them sometime, just not right now." She smiled at her friend. "I mean, it'd be different if they were more willing to meet us at our tables, but going to the snake pit intimidates me a bit." She shuddered slightly. "Let me work on that, Hermione," replied Harry. "It may take a while, but I think after some time they'll be comfortable with the idea of paying us a visit at one of our tables. They aren't anything like Malfoy, if that means anything. They aren't blood supremacists. In fact, Daphne loathes the word mudblood, even though she's a pureblood." Both Lila and Hermione winced at Harry's mention of the word mudblood, even though it was merely a reference. "Sorry," Harry sighed. "I didn't mean to offend either of you." "It's okay, Harry," Lila said with a small smile. "I know you didn't mean it like that, but it's still an awful word, and it's just hurtful to hear, even as a reference, and I know I've told you that before." Harry nodded. "You're right, Lila, and I'm sorry," he smiled at her. "If it means anything, Daphne really likes you. She said some very kind things about you last night." Lila arched an eyebrow. "Oh, yes. What did she say, out of curiosity?" Harry shrugged. "She said that you're a very kind girl and very gifted. And Tracy said that you're exceptionally talented for a muggle-born witch. Many half-blood and pure-blood Slytherins are envious of you." Hermione smiled at Lila. "They're right, Lila. It pains me to say this, but as it stands right now, you're the top student in our year. You pick things up even more quickly than I do. After all, if I'm going to be second to anyone, I'd want it to be you. But the term isn't over yet," she added with a snicker. "Would you want to go to the Slytherin table sometime with me, Lila?" Harry asked. "Before we go to class, I'll see if I can ask Daphne and Tracy to save an extra seat, and maybe if they can sit near a prefect again last night, just to be safe."
"I wouldn't be opposed to that, Harry, especially if they think that highly of me," Lila replied.
"And please, if you can get us near a prefect, that would be terrific, especially an unbiased one." Harry grinned. "I met Gemma Farley last night. She's a very fair prefect. She sat a couple of spots over from Daphne, so as long as we're near her, we'll be fine. Now just be mindful, some Slytherins might not be appreciative of your presence, so just try to ignore their taunts and insults. I got heckled a little bit last night, but it wasn't too bad, though."
"Oh yes, if we can sit near Gemma, that would be terrific," agreed Lila.
Harry nodded. "She's a good one for sure. Now, if one of them calls you the M-word, just try not to take it too personally. Don't fight back, either physically or with magic. Just let Gemma handle it, okay? She won't hesitate to defend you as long as you weren't actively looking for trouble. And I know that's not your M.O.
"Thanks, Harry," said Lila.
"I feel better knowing she has my back like that. We have a few minutes before we need to head to class. Let me see if they're at the table," Harry offered.
"Maybe we can meet them for lunch."
"That's fine, Harry," replied Lila, as Harry headed off to the Slytherin table to find Daphne and Tracy. Daphne and Tracy were in the middle of a conversation and were completely caught off guard when Harry tapped Daphne on the shoulder. Daphne jumped slightly and turned around to see Harry looking down on her, grinning.
"Oh, good morning, Harry,"
Daphne exclaimed, slightly shocked that he came back. She returned the grin.
"You surprised me a bit. How are you?"
"Hello, Daphne. Hello, Tracy," Harry replied.
"I'm good. So I think I successfully convinced Lila to come visit you two at the Slytherin table today. Would that be acceptable?"
"Oh, hi there, Potter," Tracy said with a smile. "If Darling's up to it, she's welcome to sit next to us. We'll save an extra seat."
"Great," Harry said with a chuckle.
"Do you think we could try and sit near Gemma again? It'd make Lila feel a bit more comfortable. I assured her that Gemma's a very fair prefect and won't have her back if she's ever in trouble, as long as she doesn't actively look for it."
That's fine, Harry, Daphne replied. And you're right, Gemma wouldn't hesitate to defend another student from another house if she knows a Slytherin's in the wrong.
So, are you too excited about the Halloween feast tonight? Harry asked. Should be the biggest since the start of term.
You know it, Harry, Daphne said with a big grin. I wouldn't miss it for anything in the world.
Same here, added Tracy. I can't wait.
Harry smiled at his two new Slytherin friends.
I can't wait either. And I can't wait to see you two at lunch. See you in a couple hours, okay?
Daphne smiled at her new friend.
Sounds like a plan to me, Harry. See you then.
Harry and Lila ventured back to the Slytherin table together at lunch to spend some time with Daphne and Tracy. And exactly as promised, they were just a couple of spots away from Gemma, who had the authority to quell any potential squabble should someone step out of line. Lila sat between Harry and Daphne, and on Daphne's other side was Tracy.
Hello, darling, Daphne greeted warmly. I've heard a lot of good things about you. You're the top students among 30 so far. Honestly, I'm a bit shocked. The way things were going at first, I thought it would be that Granger girl.
Hello, Greengrass, Lila replied.
Hermione and I are neck and neck, really. She could easily overtake me. I'm not really that worried about it.
She smiled.
Harry told me good things about you, too. I'm really glad to hear that not everyone in Slytherin is like Malfoy.
Daphne returned the smile.
A lot of us aren't, thankfully. I understand you're muggle-born and, to be honest, actually respect you more because of it. Half-bloods and pure-bloods have the advantage of growing up knowing what the Wizarding World is all about, but muggle-borns don't have that head start. They sort of have to figure things out for themselves. You'll never hear me calling you that ugly M-word, nor do I condone anyone that says it. If you're born with magical gifts, then you should take advantage, I say.
Thank you, Greengrass. That really means a lot to me, Lila said sincerely.
If you're feeling up to it, you're welcome to spend some of your mealtime at the Hufflepuff table.
I'll take you up on that offer sometime, replied Daphne. Tracy and I aren't the most popular girls in our house because we're a bit more tolerant than some of the others. And to be honest, both of us could use another friend, regardless of house. Like Harry, you seem to be very kind.
I'd much rather be friends with you than some of my fellow housemates, to be honest.
Lila smiled.
Truth be told, I never expected to be friends with anyone in Slytherin, but I'm glad to know that there are still some truly good students in your house. I'd be delighted to be your friend, and Tracy's too.
She extended her hand to Daphne, who accepted it and shook it heartily. She then reached around Daphne to shake Tracy's hand, who also accepted and shook Lila's hand. When lunch was over, Harry and Lila stood up and prepared to rejoin their housemates for their next class.
Thank you for inviting me to your table for lunch, Daphne and Tracy, Lila said with gratitude. I'm very glad to have gotten to know you today.
She smiled radiantly at her new friends. Daphne and Tracy returned the smile.
It's our pleasure, Lila, Daphne replied. I'm glad you overcame any prejudices and fears you might have had. I know there are certain aspects about Slytherin that seem a bit scary, but I promise there are honorable wizards and witches in our house. I'm glad you're starting to see that for yourself.
Me too, admitted Lila.
I admit I had to swallow my pride a bit, but this time I'm glad I was wrong.
You are both worth getting to know. I'll see you next time, okay? Maybe even for a few minutes this evening at the feast?
Tracy grinned.
See you later. Take care, you two.
At 6 o'clock, the entire school, students and faculty alike, gathered for the Halloween feast in the Great Hall. Much like the start of term feast, a smorgasbord prepared by the house elves magically appeared as soon as Professor Dumbledore snapped his fingers. Harry helped himself to some chicken wings, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn on the cob, steamed carrots and plum pudding. Hermione had some prime rib, potato salad, baked beans and a small chocolate chip cookie. Lila had some glazed ham, broccoli, deviled eggs and a modest slice of pumpkin pie. It didn't take long for Harry to eat his fill, so he told Hermione that he was going to visit Lila at the Hufflepuff table, and invited her to join him when she was ready. She merely nodded in between bites of her prime rib. He gave her a quick hug and then went to look for Lila.
Oh, hello, Harry. Did you get enough to eat? Lila asked sweetly. This glazed ham is delectable. My compliments to the house elves. They've really outdone themselves.
I did, Lila, Harry added with a chuckle.
And I'm sure they'd be delighted to know you found the food so tasty. He smiled at Lila.
Hermione should be here in a few minutes. She's still eating.
Lila smiled and nodded.
That's fine, Harry. I don't want her to rush on account of us.
A few minutes later, Tracy appeared at the Hufflepuff table, frantically looking for Lila and Harry. She breathed a quick sigh of relief when she saw them sitting together near the end of the table.
Potter, darling, I'm so glad I found you two, she panted.
She looked at them with a rather worried expression. "Hi, Tracy, what's wrong?" Harry asked his new friend from Slytherin. Tracy sucked her bottom lip ever so slightly.
"It's Daphne. I'm worried about her. You see, Malfoy, not Zabini, Crabbe, and Goyle all sort of ganged up on her after class this afternoon and started teasing her mercilessly for, well, because she's friends with us?" Lila asked rhetorically.
Tracy nodded.
"They told her that purebloods don't hang out with muggleborns, and trust me, they used a much uglier term, and that she needs to start acting like a real greengrass and put you two in your places. And she refused."
Tracy started to sniffle, her eyes starting to mist a bit.
"They insulted her, called her all sorts of ugly names like blood traitor and Gryffindor wannabe. Not that there's anything wrong with being a Gryffindor, of course, but it was just the way they teased her. She ran to the girls' loo downstairs crying her eyes out, and hasn't come out for almost 2 hours. I'm really, really worried about her."
Lila shook her head sadly.
"I'm so, so sorry, Tracy. I didn't mean to cause her any problems. She really is a sweetheart. I don't think Harry can accompany me for obvious reasons, but would you like for me to go down and talk to her after dinner? Because that was very brave of her to stick to her guns like that. My respect for her has just doubled, in fact."
"Yes, please," Tracy replied.
A tear trickled down her cheek.
"I tried talking to her, but you're a lot smarter than I am, and not only that, but you're very empathetic by nature. You're the daughter of a social worker, are you not? I think you're born for these things, to tell people that they're worth something and why they're worth something. Daphne needs someone like that. You're perfect for that. My respect for you will only increase as well."
Lila flashed a radiant smile.
"I'd be delighted to help. I'm almost done with my dinner. Then let me ask one of my prefects permission to be excused to help you and Daphne out, okay?"
Tracy nodded.
"Thank you, Lila. You're a true friend. I wish Daphne and I got to know you earlier. You're a right treasure, you know. Please, have a seat by us in the meantime," offered Harry. "If anyone looks at you funny, then that's their problem, not ours. Lila and I will have your back."
"Thank you, Harry," replied Tracy. "Daphne and I aren't troublemakers, honest."
"I know you're not," agreed Harry. "And I know things work a bit differently in Slytherin, so going to Professor Snape isn't going to fix much, is he?"
Tracy shook her head sadly.
"Professor Snape does what he can to protect his serpents, yes, but he doesn't have as much power as he claims he has. He still has to play the political game, meaning he needs to maintain his good relationships with the most powerful pureblood houses, like the Noughts, the Malfoys, and other similarly powerful families. With few exceptions, he cannot get himself directly involved in a relatively minor squabble like this, even though Daphne would say that this is anything but minor. But he does encourage students to resolve their problems in their own way. Unfortunately, backstabbing and revenge are very much ways to handle things in Slytherin, but that's not in Daphne's DNA. She's too kind and honest. She'd rather play fair if at all possible. And I respect the mess out of her for that, but sometimes she needs help, you know? And I can only do so much for her."
"I understand," replied Harry in a soft, friendly voice. "Lila would be most valuable in this instance, I think. I know you really only got to truly meet her today, but it didn't take long for a true friendship to form."
He smiled at Tracy knowingly. "She was there for me since the very start. I came from a troubled home, and somehow she knew that the instant we met. She really saw something in me because I had very little self-esteem before Hogwarts. The more time I spent with Lila, the more I realized my self-worth. I'm a somebody, Tracy, and I have Lila to thank for that."
Tracy nodded with a small smile. "Yes, you are, Harry. You are somebody. Don't let Malfoy and his goons tell you otherwise."
Her smile broadened. "Lila is a very special witch, that much is obvious. She seems to bring out the best in all her friends."
"I agree completely," Harry replied.
"And she'll prove it to Daphne as well." Lila, who had just eaten her fill, got up to find one of the Hufflepuff prefects. She saw Marjolaine sitting a few seats over, again next to another prefect, Gabe Truman. Lila smiled and cleared her throat.
"Hello, Marcia, got a sec?"
Marcia returned the smile.
"Oh, hi, Lila, what's up? Can I help you?"
Lila sucked at her lip a bit.
Yes. You see, I have a new friend in Slytherin, Daphne Greengrass. She didn't show up for dinner tonight, you see. She's been cooped up in the girls' loo ever since class has finished because several of her housemates teased her really badly. She's been crying for the past 2 hours, and her friend Tracy wants me to go down and talk to her, you know, make her feel appreciated. She may be a Slytherin, but she's a sweetheart, I promise. I'd like permission to go help her out, if that's okay."
Marcia cocked her head slightly.
"You have a reputation for being helpful, Lila. I don't see the harm in that. But what happened, if you don't mind telling me? Why did her housemates tease her?"
Lila sighed and lowered her head in shame. It's prats like Malfoy, Knott and other blood supremacist Slytherins. They don't want Daphne to be my friend because I'm Muggle-born. She's a pureblood. They called her things like Blood Traitor and Gryffindor Wannabe, and Merlin knows what else. I may be Muggle-born, but I know I can help her. I'm the daughter of a social worker. Sympathy is in my DNA. Marcia gave her a rather sympathetic look. I'm so sorry to hear that. Nobody deserves to be teased like that. The Greengrass House is one of the oldest and wealthiest of all the major wizarding families, but despite the fact that most of them get sorted into Slytherin, they're also more sympathetic to Muggle-born witches and wizards. If Daphne finds you worthy of friendship, then her family will accept you as well. And that's a good thing, because the Greengrass family would be a most valuable ally. She smiled gently at Lila. Go on, go talk to your friend. Of all the people in this room, I think you're the one best equipped to cheer her up. Go on, make her feel special. Thank you, Marcia, Lila replied gratefully. She hugged the prefect, taking her a bit by surprise, but she returned the hug. She quietly exited the great hall and went down to the dungeons to try to find Daphne in the girls' loo. Knock, knock, giggled Lila as she entered the lavatory. Daphne, are you in here? She slowly made her way down the line of toilet stalls, and in the very last one, she heard some muffled sobbing. She gently knocked on the stall.
Hello, Daphne, it's me, Lila Darling. I'd like to talk to you for a minute, if that's okay. Please, come out of there.
A few seconds later, the stall door creaked open, and Lila saw a wreck of a little girl. Daphne's normally gorgeous, silky, smooth, honey-blonde hair was disheveled. Her eyes were red and puffy, and her cheeks were stained with the trickling of many tears. Her robes were a bit messy, and the sleeves were also a bit wet from wiping the tears off her cheeks.
Hi, Lila, Daphne wheezed. I'm so sorry you had to see me like this.
She sniffled, and a few more tears flowed down her cheeks.
Tracy told me what happened, Lila replied gently. I didn't mean to cause you this sort of trouble.
Daphne glared at Lila.
It's not your fault, Lila. Those twerps need to mind their own bloody business. They could be a blood traitor. They don't be wasting my time with Muggle-borns like yourself, but you're worth more than all of them put together, and it's not close.
Lila smiled.
I heard you told them off. You could easily have told them that they were right, and stopped seeing me and Harry, but you doubled down and told them that you still want to be friends with us. I'm really, really proud of you.
She gave Daphne a gentle hug, who reciprocated.
Your hugs, I don't rightly know how to describe them, Daphne murmured. They feel warm, a little tingly, and like everything's going to be all right. Your hugs are a magic unto themselves, I think.
She paused to stifle a sniffle and wiped away another tear.
You might not be a pure blood, but you absolutely have a pure soul. And I'll take a pure soul over a pure blood any day of the week.
She embraced Lila tightly.
I just met you today, Lila replied gently. But I like to think I have a gift for judging character. And I can already tell you're a terrific friend. You're very kind, caring, and have a strong moral compass. And you have some courage to stick to your principles like that, too. Honestly, I'm a little surprised that you're a Slytherin, because I think you have a lot of Gryffindor in you.
Daphne giggled.
If you must know, that plaited sorting hat very nearly put me in Gryffindor. Part of me regrets not telling that hat I wanted Gryffindor a little bit more, even though it might have stunned my family a bit. I was close to being a Gryffindor myself, Lila added,
also with a giggle.
But I think we're in the houses that we are for a reason. I think we are too, Lila, agreed Daphne. Though truth be told, you would have been an excellent Gryffindor. You've got some spunk. I remember you standing up to Malfoy like that during the first week. You did what I could never bring myself to do. I'm very proud of you for that, just so you know. But I'm prouder now that I have you in my corner.
Lila's giggling intensified.
You're not the first to tell me that. A lot of people think I should be in Gryffindor, and I know I'd do well there. But Hufflepuff's, well, home to me, you know? I love Professor Sprout and my housemates. We get along great, you know. But I also love Professor McGonagall and many of the Gryffindors, too. They kind of consider me an honorary Gryffindor, which is nice. You're lucky, Lila, Daphne said. Slytherin's a bit different.
While I admire Professor Snape, there's only so much he can do. He has to maintain peace, so he has to be very careful when choosing his battles. Slytherin students have to learn to solve their own problems, and some of the methods used here I don't particularly condone.
Lila nodded.
Yeah, Tracy told us that. I'm so sorry that you're left to fend for yourself like that. But if you need me for any reason, I'll help out. No questions asked. She smirked. When I arrived at Hogwarts, I was rather afraid of the green on your necktie. But since I've gotten to know you and Tracy, I don't really see that now. I simply see Daphne Greengrass, my friend. That's all I ever need to know.
Another tear rolled down Daphne's cheek, but this time a tear of joy.
Thank you, Lala. Thank you for looking deeper and finding a friend. I look forward to spending time with you and Harry. You're far better company than many of my housemates.
Lala smiled again.
And I look forward to spending more time with you and Tracy. Now let's get you cleaned up before we go back to the Great Hall for the Halloween feast. There probably isn't much time left before we all get excused to go to our dorms.
Meanwhile, back at the Great Hall,
a gaunt, turbaned figure ran frantically into the Great Hall, flailing his arms, screaming, "Troll! Troll! There's a troll in the dungeons!"
This turbaned figure was Professor Quirrell, the Defense Against the Dark Arts instructor.
"Troll in the dungeons!"
he screeched as he approached the faculty table. He seemed to stare straight at Dumbledore before moaning,
"Thought you ought to know."
He then fainted on the spot.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at sangabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.